Lord, sanctify me. My sins were higher than the mountains, and the Lord, sanctify me. My sins were deeper than the ocean, and the Lord, sanctify me.
Absence and all the brethren and the absent ones, I greet you all in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. It's an honor to be here, as I said before, and it's a privilege to even come before you, you know, to even bring forth the word of God. I'm nothing. I'm just an empty vessel. Just want to be used by God. And as I stand before you, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, do my best, give you what the Lord laid on my heart.
Amen.
And you know, we'll go from there.
Amen.
Praise God. Our lesson be Romans chapter 6. Our lesson is taken from Romans chapter 6. Okay. I can't already see, so the light's a little dull color right here. Romans chapter 6. Can you please stand when you find it? I would have liked to read the whole chapter, but it's very long, so I'm just going to read from 1 to 4, and then I'll probably just skip a few verses. And we can read together, and it said, "What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?
Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
even so we also should walk in newness of life." Praise God. And I'm just going to, there's a few other verses in there that I would like to bring forward as I go along, so I'll just put them in as I go along. And my topic to you tonight is holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. Wow. Holiness unto the Lord. I know everybody's looking in anticipation. What is she coming with? What is she going to bring out tonight? You know, but I'm talking about holiness unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And holiness is a very important, you know, part of our Christian life. It's very, very important in our Christian life. And God is a holy God.
Yes, he is.
God is holy, and God required holiness from us. When I look at the word holiness, it said holiness is a state or a character of being holy. And to be holy means to be free from anything that would offend a perfect God. And so holiness is associated with the divine power and you're set apart. It said you're set apart for service for God. So that which is holy belongs to God. And if you remember when the angel appeared to Mary, the angel said to Mary that holy thing that we shall be born shall be called the Son of God. So what Mary was bringing forth, it was holy. That means it was set apart for God's use. And before I go further down, I just want to go back a little to creation, because holiness starts from creation. Holiness starts from for God so created heaven and earth. And as I look down during creation and God started call all these things into being, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And as he called them into being, he said that, you know, it was good. The Bible said that God saw that it was good. And as he kind of going down and numbering the days and up until the 6 days, the sixth day when he made man, he said that, and God behold everything that he made, and it was very good. And we know that the opposite of good is bad, right? So we know that everything that God made in creation, it was very, very good. Even man was good. And as we go down in creation, you know, God, you come down in the cool of the day and reason with man, and you know, and talk as his children, as his sons and daughters, you talk with them and reason, and you know, just want to have fellowship. And just the same with us, so you know, God wants to have fellowship with us. God wants to reason with us. And so in the garden, God would come down and would reason with man, you know, but one day man did something to defy the holy God. Messed up God's garden. God can't finish it anymore. Because sin entered into that holy temple. Sin entered into the garden. Man disobeyed God. And so the fellowship that God once used to have with man, that was taken away. And so God said, "This no, this can't be." So God had to turn him out of the garden. And as we go down the line of snow and sin, after sin come in the garden, and as God, you know, get rid of them, you know, and so sin continues. No, we have Adam, we have Noah. We have Noah, how sin continued on and on and on. But God was just such a merciful God. God didn't just destroy them like that. And so as sin continues, God said, I have to make a way. I have to find a way to save man. And so as the scripture goes on down the road, it said that, you know, there is one man who find grace in the sight of God. And this man was Noah. And so God spoke to Noah and said Noah to build a ark. And out of the whole creation that God made, only 8 people were saved. Because you see, God is a holy God. And God cannot stand on holiness. So anything that God does, it has to be right. It has to be righteous. It has to be pure. And so from then, you can see where sin come in and unrighteousness started to come in. And so God's been always trying to find a way to bring back holiness, righteousness, cleanness. Because God has to dwell in a clean place. And so, as Noah built the ark, and Noah preached for 120 years and warned the people, but they still disobeyed. Sin still continued, just as in today's days. The Bible said, as in the days of Noah, so it's going to be today. Many will be married, giving in marriage, doing whatever they want to do. And you see it. It is fulfilling. And so, it comes a time when God said, you know, my soul, it repented God that he made man. The Bible said that it grieved God to his heart that he made man. And so God destroyed man. So the only people that were saved was Noah and his family. 8 people. And all of the 8 people that was left, it was the 8 people that's going to bring generation to generation back upon the earth. And so, maybe God expect, you know, things to change, and because they were righteous after the flood, and they would come out and live for God. But the Bible said that sin continues. Men get corrupt because what? Because they were born in sin, and they were shaped in iniquity. David said that, have mercy upon me, O God, because of that loving kindness, because of your tender mercy. Have mercy upon me, creating me a clean heart. And because they were born in sin, we were shaped in iniquity, sin still continues and on and on and on. But God still didn't give up on man. God God still loves us. God, down here, God still loves us. And as we can see as we go on down the road, you know, that God, you know, looked down and down the ages, because, you know, Noah had three sons, and God looked down and in Noah's generation, see who he could have found. And if we know the story of Noah and his three sons, we know the story how one of Noah's sons, Shem, he was one of the sons who covered up his father's nakedness after he was drunk and was in his tent. And so Shem was one of the sons who came in and covered up his father, you know, from disgrace. And as you can see, though, God looked down in Shem's lineage. As he looked down, he said, let me get Abram. Abram's coming from Shem's lineage. And God said, okay, because I want to have a people for myself. I want to have a holy people, a people of righteousness. And he could have chosen any one of those from the generation of Noah, but he didn't. It must be a reason why he did. But out of Shem's generation, he chose Abraham, way down from Arab, if I get the name right, where they worship idols. But God wanted a people to call his own, a holy people. You know, over in Peter, the Bible said that we are a holy people. We are a call-out nation. We are a peculiar people. So God people are special people. We Christian, we are special people for Jesus Christ. Because we are called out. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God saved us from the dead on the cross, and he saved us. And so he called us out. He called Pentecostal, I don't. Oh my God, when we went to a Boston Spa, and you know, Bishop Leon Williams was talking about the Pentecostal, and if you remember, and what the Pentecostal is, and how we are different. And when you really think about it, that we are a special people for Christ, because we get special teaching, we get special calling from God, because Jesus Christ came down and he made the church. He formed the church. He called 12 disciples and he formed them and he made them and he break them and he sent them out and he said, go and find the lost sheep. And here you and I am tonight. We are in the flock. Yes, we have the Hebrew children, the children of Israel who were children of Israel, but we are the spiritual children of Israel. We are called out. We are called out to be holy. We are called out to live right and righteous before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God called us as a chosen vessel, ready, set apart for his use. And God wants us to obey him. Pastor Christian said, set your house in order. How are we going to set our house in order? But living by the word of God, by the sanctified word of God. Jesus prayed and he said, sanctify them to thy truth, for thy word is truth. Yes, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Yes. No man can come to the Father but by me. Amen. So we have to sanctify ourselves. For us to live holy, we have to sanctify ourselves. And we're going to live for Jesus Christ day by day. Sanctify yourself, set apart. We can't do as the world do. We can't be like the world, because we're none of this world. We are in this world, but we are none of this world. One day we're going to be moving out of this world. So we have to be set apart for God's use. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. And so we know the story of Abram, how God called Abram out of his kindred, from his family, from his friends, from his idol worshiping, from all those things that God is calling us today, from all the things that surround us that occupy our mind and covered us. God is calling us out. God called Abraham, and he told Abraham that he's going to make him a father of many nations. And so Abraham was a chosen vessel for God. God chose Abraham because God wanted to build a nation through Abraham. And we know this story about Isaac, and it goes on to Jacob, and how Jacob has 12 sons, and that's where you see the generation start. And we see this story how they all went down to Egypt. It came to famine in the land, and they had to go down there. And they were sold, Joseph was sold to Pharaoh. And so eventually that he brought all his family down to Egypt. And how you know how all generation of Jacob come down to Egypt. And as they were down in Egypt, they were struggling. Yes, they had it good for a while. But they were struggling after a while. After Joseph died and a new Pharaoh come in, it was hard. It was hard for them down there. And for 400 years they was been in Egypt. But when the time was right, God said, it's time to deliver my children, because these are my children. And Jesus said, it's time for me to deliver my children out of Egypt. And so God found, called Moses. You know the story of Moses? How Moses came into being and what happened, how he was hidden by the river. And how Pharaoh's wife found him, and his sister Miriam run and get her mother to take care of her, take care of him. And then he grows up in Pharaoh's household, you know, knowing all everything that's in Egypt. But then things happen and he had to run away, because God had a purpose for his life. Sometimes we as children of God, God called us. And we try to run away from God. We want to do our own thing. We want to live our own life. But when God have a hole in you, there's nothing you can do. Nothing at all. Moses was a chosen vessel. And so as Moses was in Egypt and doing what he was doing, the time came when he had to get out of there. God has to make him and mold him. And so Moses, when he went away, and he's in that burning bush, and God told him what he has to do. And he went back to Egypt to get his children out. Now God is going to take his chosen people out of Egypt. The people that he wants to serve him so bad. The people that he wants to love and be obedient to him was disobedient. And so what God said, you know what, I'm not going to leave them there. I'm not going to leave you there. I'm not going to leave you there in your filth. I'm not leaving there in your distress, in your heartaches and pain. I'm still God. I'm going to take you out of there. And so as God used Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, because down in Egypt there was idols, they worshipped idols and witchcraft and all these things down there. So God's people was in a country that it wasn't a place for them. Because God is holy, and that wasn't a holy place. And so God take them out of here. And as God take them out of there, God gave Moses instruction. Because remember, God is a holy God. And God deals with holiness. And if you're going to come into my presence, you're going to come in holiness. And so God told Moses, when they come out of Egypt, to sanctify the people. He told Moses to tell them to wash their clothes and clean themselves up. You see how holy God is? God just don't take us any and anyhow. You can't come to God any and anyhow and feel like it's okay. That's not God. God said, I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And God wants us to be holy. And for us to be, for God to use us, we have to be holy. We have to live right. God requires holiness from us. And God can't use us if we're not holy. If we're not living right, we can't have one foot in and one foot out. If you're going to be in, you're going to be in. If you're going to be out, you're going to be out. I always say, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve God good. I'm going to serve Him with everything that I got in me. And you know why? He said, if I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to live it up in this world. I'm going to enjoy this world. That's my philosophy. I'm going to enjoy this world. I die and I go to hell. I know my soul is lost. But if I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live for God. And when I say I'm going to put my head on the block, I'm going to put my head on and say, for God I live, for God I die. And you have to reach that place where they say, God, it's just you and you alone. It doesn't matter what. Because it's going to come a time when you're going to say, is it Jesus Christ or is it going to be the devil? And what is going to be your answer? And if you don't have God in you, if you don't have a determination, if you don't have something in you to say, God, it is me, oh God, standing in need of prayer, then you can be, the wind is going to come and blow you and twist you and you're all over, and as soon as as a soldier. He said, I stand as a true soldier, and I die on my post. We know the lifestyle of a soldier. Put all the whole army of God. Hallelujah. We will stand because the Hebrew days are coming. They are here, but it's going to get worse. It's high time. It is going to get worse. It is worse now, it's going to be worse and worse. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be worse. Thank you, Jesus. God wants a holy people. God wants people who live. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God gave the children of Israel guidelines. God tell the children of Israel. God tell Moses that the people should sanctify themselves. They should wash their clothes. Leviticus 11:14 said, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." And just as the Lord said it then, he's saying it today. Because I am that I am. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first, I am the last. I am he that changeth not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was God in the beginning, he's the same God today. He said, I change it not. Hallelujah. And as God gave guidelines down there, God gave us guidelines today. We have guidelines to follow. We have guidelines to follow. God said, he changed it not. And if he give it to them then, he's going to give it to us now. Because he's the same God. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have no excuse. Romans 1 said, thou art inexcusable, O man. Nobody can say, I did not know, I didn't hear it. The Bible tells us that what the children of Israel have gone through, it is there in the Bible for our example. So we don't have an excuse. We can't say we didn't know. It's there for us to read because they have gone through so much. They have gone through the punishment. We have seen what they have gone through. And the Bible said it is there for our example. And in spite of all what God did, God gave the children of Israel prophets, he gave them priests, he gave them instruction, he gave them the Ten Commandments for them just to live holy. Just to he just follow the commandment. That's all he's saying, you know, just follow the guideline. These are my guidelines that I'm giving you. I just want you to follow it step by step. Just walk in a narrow way and follow it step by step. And just do what I ask you. That's all he's saying. Present your body a living sacrifice. We read the scripture, we were buried with Christ. If we live with him, we shall die with him, we shall reign with him. And it's just so simple. And it's just to give up to God. It's just giving up to God. And when we give up to God, God will do the rest. When you surrender all, we say some all to Jesus I surrender. All to thee I freely give. Hallelujah. When we really surrender all to Jesus Christ. Or are we just giving it part and holding back part? But he wants us to surrender. And as we go down the line, we see how man still sin, disobey, do what they want to do, displeasing God. And maybe. Just maybe, God is saying, I just got to show them how to live holy. Because all the instruction I gave them, all the prophets and the priests that I gave for them to just follow, they're not doing it. So just maybe, if I just go down, if I just put on flesh and go down and show them, then just maybe they may know how to live holy. Just maybe they may know how to live holy. And so, the Bible said that when the fullness of time comes, Galatians 4 verse 4, when the fullness of time comes, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law. The same law that God gave Moses for the people. The same law. The Bible said when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. made of a woman under the law. And we know the story how the angel visited Mary and tell Mary that the Holy Ghost will come upon her and overshadow her, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. But Jesus, God himself, said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word formed flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the Holy Begotten of the Father. In the beginning, God himself created heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. And so God formed flesh and come down to teach us that holiness is mine, and I want my children to live holy. And so as God come down and call himself in flesh, he said, let me start somewhere. Let me travel a little bit and do what I have to do. And then he found, as he go along and he started teaching and preaching, here comes a man who see Jesus and wonder at his signs and miracles and what he does. And he said, how? He said, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was one who was supposed to know about God because he was a ruler. So he would have all his information. And he come to Jesus by night because he was so curious. And he said that, oh, you do all these things. But Jesus said to him, so Jesus wanted to teach him how to be holy. How you can do all these things. That you must be born again. Jesus said you're going to be born of the water and of the spirit and of the blood. He said, marvel not. You must be born again. So for you to live holy, you have to be born again. Saints, we have to be born again to live holy. Marvel not, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. You have to baptize in Jesus' name. Repent of your sin. Baptize in Jesus' name. You're going to put on Jesus Christ to be born again. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost alone can help you to live holy. You cannot live holy of yourself. Yes, I may think that, yes, I'm a Christian, I don't need, I baptize, and that's it. You can't live holy by yourself. The Holy Ghost help you to live holy. The Holy Ghost teach you all things about Jesus Christ. He teaches you about God. He said, Jesus Christ said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The truth is in Jesus Christ. He said, the Holy Ghost shall teach you all truth and bring all things back to your remembrance. So you have to get into Jesus Christ. You have to get into the Word. You have to study the Word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved of God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you have to study. The Bible said, that word have I hid in my heart, that I sin not against thee. So for us to live holy, we have to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God and live the Word of God. We have to live the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'll be coming down soon. A little while I'll be down. I won't be much longer.
Keep going.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, sanctify them to thy truth, for thy word is truth. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, he will pray the Father. And the Father will send you another comforter. Who is this comforter? Jesus himself is the comforter. And you see, when the Holy Ghost helps us to live so well. The Holy Ghost helps us convict us. Because sometimes we did some things wrong. And if we don't have the Holy Ghost to convict us, They would figure we're okay. And we're not okay. But the Holy Ghost leads into all truth. And the Holy Ghost convicts us, and we can cry out to God and say, God, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. I have sinned. I have failed you. And holy, and God, because God is just a merciful God. He's so merciful, he's so kind, he's so loving, and he wants us to be saved. That's why he came. That's why he died. Only the purpose that we can live with him, that we can reign with him one day. Hallelujah. That's why he came. He didn't have to do what he did. He could, from the garden, he could have just destroyed man. He could have said, away with you. He could have destroyed everybody from the flood. He said, forget about you. God said it grieved God's heart so much that he made, repented him so much that he made man. But because of love, because of divine love, because of how God formed us, God made man in his own image. And when God done it, he knelt down and he breathed his breath into man. And man become a living soul. What's in God, God put in us. So we are not our own. We think we are our own. We are not our own. The breath that we breathe belongs to God. And he can take it at any time if he wants to. And we live as we want, as we do as we want. And God wants us to love him. Accept him. Hallelujah. So how can we live holy? How can we live for God and please God? You know, our body is a temple of the living God. In Romans chapter 12, it said that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and unacceptable. In Romans chapter 6 that we read right there, and there's a few verses I want to read now that just touch on there. And it said over in verse 12, it said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness. So our members, our hands, whatever we do, our bodies belong to God. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servant to obey. A servant ye are to whom ye obey. So if you yield your body unto sin, so Satan can do what he wanted to do with you. If you look at some people, their body is so full of tattoos and so marked, they yield their body unto the devil. And so the enemy use them. And they do what he, but if you yield yourself unto God, then your body become a living sacrifice to God. And God dwell in you. And so the Holy Spirit dwells in you, your body is just a vessel. A vessel for God. And if you use it, yield your body unto unrighteousness, your body is a vessel unto unrighteousness. So Satan is going to come in. The demon is going to use you to do whatever he wants you to do. Some things you're going to never think of, he'll use you to do. But when you yield yourself unto God, it's unto righteousness. So you yield your body unto God for righteousness. He said, I speak of this manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servant to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servant to righteousness unto holiness. So he's probably saying that, yes, you yield your body before unto unrighteousness, unto sin. You used to do that one time, but now you're into the kingdom of God. Now yield your body unto righteousness, unto holiness for God. He said, but now be made free from sin. We're no more longer in sin. We're no longer living in sin. He said, and become servant of God. Ye are your fruit, yield your fruit and holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that's what God wants us to have. Eternal life. Eternal life. You know, if you think about it, you know, you have your house. And you know, you have guests gonna come over. And Christmas time is coming, or Thanksgiving pass, and you know, you fix up. You dust down and you clean up, because you don't want your family member to come and see the mess in your house. This isn't the natural. So you're gonna put things in order. So when they come and they can see all of this, they can see that, well, wow, it's nice. But just so it is in the spiritual. That's a natural house. Every day you clean your house. Every day you make sure that everything is in order, your bed is made, you know, the dishes is washed, your house is in order. How much more your temple? How much more your body that belongs to God? How much more what God gave you? God's Spirit dwells in you. How much more you're supposed to be clean and presentable before God? Because if you're cleaning your natural house for people to come in, what about God? God is greater than all. God is God. God is eternal, everlasting Father. And He wants a place to dwell. When God came down to talk to meet up with Adam in the evening in the garden, to fellowship with them, and He wanted to talk with them, He couldn't. Because it was messed up. It was messed up. Just as though God wouldn't have fellowship, when God started to call them, they're hiding. Is God calling us and we're hiding from God? Hiding. God said, who told you you were naked? So when we sin, we know we sin. Because God said, don't do this. And you do it. God said, do not eat of the tree of the good and evil. And you eat it. And then you hide yourself. Why are you hiding? And it's the same thing in our Christian life, in our spiritual life. As soon as you slip up, you know. As soon as you falter, you feel like you falter and you can't pray. You want to pray, but you can't pray. You want to pray out to God and you can't. Because you're so bound, because the enemy like, yes, I got you now. And God said, come on, my child, I love you. I want you to come home to me. And we fight and we fight and we fight. God is this morning, and come on, I'm not gonna destroy you. I just want to love you. I just want to hold on to you. I just want to be your father. I want to be your friend. You said, I am your friend. I just want to love you. And we fight God. And we can't let go. And God just want to love us. The Bible said, mortify. Therefore, the members that are upon the hurt, filthiness, foolish talking, idle jesting, to keep your vessel clean, to keep your body holy, the temple holy, where God dwells. Remember, God dwells in this. Because from once you come out of sin, and once you put on the name of Jesus Christ, and once you are filled with the Holy Ghost, your body becomes the temple of the living God. And so any enemy cannot go in there. We are set apart. We are a peculiar people. And so we have to live holy day by day. How we live holy? By getting into the Word of God and seeking God and living by the Word of God. Because as I said, we can't think of ourselves, but the Holy Ghost that is in us, help us to live holy. God said, I am a holy God, and no man can see God. Without holiness, no man can see God. And as I'm coming down, over in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, come, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is the conclusion? Fear God and keep His commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. God requires holiness from us. God requires holiness. God is holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God requires holiness from us. For me, the message is for me first. For me first. So I have to search myself day by day. I have to get into the Word day by day. When I'm at work, I gotta make sure that I'm at a place that Christ is seen in me. When I come to church, I gotta make sure the place that God is seen in me. I don't want my skirt to be turned upside down. I don't want to be whipped. I remember growing up in church. I grew up in church. My life is church. I love church. And I was afraid if I do something when I go to church, that the Lord is going to expose me. That's how God works. I was afraid. People isn't afraid anymore. They come to church anyhow, they live their life anyhow. They do what they want to do and don't care. They don't live in fear of God. That there's a God that watches over you day by day and see what you're doing and will turn your skirt upside down. You're coming to church and think everything is okay and God will whip you. God needs a people, a sincere people, a sincere heart to serve Him. God needs people who are determined, because when the time comes, to say, who is going to stand for God? Who is going to be a true soldier? What are you going to do? When is it that you're going to take the mark so you can get some food to eat? Are you going to die for Christ? If you say, I'm going to kill your kid, your children, if you don't deny Christ, what are you going to do? We have to be at that place. We got to be at that place no matter what it is. You say, Lord, for you I live, for you I die. Kids are no kids, food are no food, because you know what? That is, if in this life only we have hope, we would have been of men most miserable. Thank God we don't have hope in this life. We are going home someday. Jesus said, I've gone to a fair place, and I'm coming back. He said, I'm coming back. And I remember when he was going up, somebody said, this same Jesus, who is he going up? You'll be coming back likewise. So when the city sign, look up for our redemption, draw it nigh. Children of God, it is high time that we awake out of sleep. We are sleeping. We are too much at ease. I'm too much at ease. I am too much at ease. I'm too settled. I want to work for God. Are you willing to give your life for Christ? Who's willing to give their life for Christ? Christ gave their life, his life for us. Who's willing to give their life for Christ? We have to be at that place. We have to get to that place. If we're not there yet, we need to get there. We need to get there. Because he's coming back. Without a shadow of doubt, he is coming back. And he's coming back soon. When I was growing, you know, I remember I said that I don't know if I was going to live to see 1999. Maybe I was like, I don't know how old I was then. But I always said that because it was so far away, it was way down the road. And I didn't think I was going to live to see 1999. I said, God's going to come by then. He's not here yet. But he's still coming. But one thing I know, that for every person whose life is shivered out of this life, Christ come for them. Christ has come for them because they can't change nothing. They can't repent. They can't. If they wasn't living right, that's it. It's done. They're just waiting for eternity. Now it's 2014. I'm still here. God spared my life. Thank God. Hallelujah. God spared my life. And I'm still here. And my mind is made up day by day, more and more. And every time I see what's going on, it has made me strong. I said, God, your word said it. I comfort myself in the word. When I see everything's going on, I comfort myself in the word. Because God, you said, this is what your word said. So I'm not going to be going all crazy about it. Because it's just your word fulfilling. So it's my duty and your duty is to make sure that we stay into God and stayed into his word. Because he's coming back, and he's coming back sooner than we think. God bless you, in Jesus' name.